really thankful to be asked again to share the Word of God with you. It's the joy of my life to talk to others about the Word of God. I've been teaching in a classroom for the most part since 1958. And that's my favorite way of teaching the Word. The less favorite way is standing up here, because I recognize if I don't have something to say that's helpful to you, I've wasted a lot of cumulative hours of your folks' time. What I want to talk to you about today is a subject with two words: I will. Did you know that this word, I will, is found 197 times in the New Testament? The word I will introduces or states a statement of intent or purpose. All of us, in order to live life successfully, must have plans for our life. If we have no plans, we have no directions, we will accomplish nothing. I would like to notice some of the I wills of the New Testament. And you can relax. Take it easy. I'm not going to try to cover 197 I wills in the New Testament. We will notice that some of them are very firm and very meaningful. Others are stated very lightly. Some are foolish, and others are lightly spoken. The first one I want to look at is the I will of presumption. A certain scribe came to Jesus and said to him, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Well, what was Jesus' reply? Jesus says, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." This man had good intentions, but it seems the Lord knew he was speaking impulsively and without knowing all that is involved in serving the Lord. I've learned from experience that some people that you think not only understands the truth of what to do to be saved, but what is expected of them as a child of God after they have obeyed the gospel. This man had good intentions, but it seemed he was speaking impulsively, as I've already said, without really counting the cost. We are encouraged in Scripture to count the cost. But how many of us are like this man? Decide in the spur of the moment to be a Christian without ever realizing that Christianity demands one's life. We decide on the spur of the moment to be a Christian. And then some hardship or difficulty comes along and we fall away. Jesus wants us to know that serving him is not a bed of roses. There's a price to pay. It cost Jesus his life. If we're saved, it's going to cost us our life. Number two, the foolish, or the selfish and foolish, I will. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. This is what Jesus said about a rich farmer whose ground brought forth plentifully, and he had a problem. And if you read every time he says, I will, it was always, I will for self. Well, what was the Lord's answer to him? Here it is. Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And whose shall these things be that you've provided? That's right. Somebody else is going to get what you leave behind. Back in the 20s, my father was a justice of the peace. And back in those days, they probated the wills. He probated the will of the richest man in Marin County, Alabama. And some of the people wanted to know, one of them said, Mr. Charlie, how much money did old Mr. Mitchell leave? My dad said he left it all. That's what's going to happen to us. We're going to leave it all. But let me ask you, did the Lord stop there? That's what he was talking about? No, he didn't. Now, most of the time, once we read where God said, thou fool, tonight thy soul will be required of thee, we get that. We stop there. The question is Jesus have any message for us today? Yes, he does. So is he that is not rich towards God. So is he what? That layeth up treasures for himself is not rich before God. Well, what do you say about the man that stored all of his goods? He said he's a fool. Is that not telling us that we are a fool if we do the same thing? Young people, let me say this to you. I once was young, whether you believe it or not. And I thought it was hard to give to the church 10%. And I had a debate with myself, but I ended up doing it. What do you suppose would have happened to me if I had not done that? I more than likely would have turned out to be a selfish, covetous person. And a covetous person just not going to heaven. But rather think about this in a negative way. Let's think about that in a positive way. Suppose you give what you thought you couldn't give for the work of the Lord. And you're blessed to where you can give much more than 10%. And you may even have some left over after you give liberal to the church that you can support missionaries. And I know that there's some here that do that. in addition to their contribution. What about this thought? Eternity is an awful long time. And it's just possible that you're going to meet somebody in heaven that you helped to get there by hearing the word that they would not have heard without your helping them to go. I know many people that are begging for funds to go, and some even begging for funds to come home with their earthly goods after 25 years on the mission field. Remember Revelations 14:13. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Do you not want that to be said of you? Daniel 12:2 says, they that are wise turn many to righteousness, and those who do will shine as the brightness of the stars forever and ever. Yes, we don't want to be among the selfish. Selfish, this man was selfish because he only thought of himself. He was foolish because he left God out of his plans. The most miserable people in all the world are those who think only of themselves. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Did you get that? Daily, and follow me. It takes plans and purpose to follow the Lord daily. Go to now, you that say, tomorrow we'll go in such and such a place and buy and sell and get gain for a year. Whereas you know not what is going to be tomorrow. For what is your life? It is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Do you plan to have God in your life for the rest of 2017? God has given us a brand new year. It's 1/4 gone. But we have three quarters of a year left. What plans do we have for God? What plans do we have for promoting the kingdom of God? What plans do we have for spreading the word of God in this community? No plans, no action, no accomplishments for the Lord. Number three, the will of politics. That's right, politics. I say that politics has no place in the pulpit, but I'll use this as an example. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. You recognize that as the words of Pilate when he said about Jesus, after he had questioned him and the witnesses that made their false claims against Jesus. But he didn't stop there. That's in verse 16. In verse 22, he says, the third time, I find no fault in this man, and nothing worthy of death. Therefore, I'll chastise him and release him. I've got a question for Mr. Pilate, the governor of Israel for the Roman Empire. If there's no fault in him, why chastise him? The answer, politics. Trying to please the people instead of trying to do what is right. One of the greatest problems of God's people in all the history of the world is men's desire to please men rather than please God. Among the scribes, many of them believed on Jesus, but they would not confess him for fear of the Jews, for they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. Many church members are too concerned about pleasing men and even preachers. The change movement in the church is based on the idea we should try harder to make the church more appealing. That's the I will of politics. Number four, the I will of rebellion. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, he repented and went. Matthew 21:29. How ugly and unseemingly is such a thing as a child rebelling against the parent and being so ugly. Young people, rebellion is a terrible sin. It's not always the child's fault. If you don't discipline a child when it's small, then you're going to have an undisciplined adult. I'm convinced from my experience that children want to have restraint. They want to be corrected. Notice them. They'll test you. We were visiting some people on a Sunday afternoon. Our oldest child was wanting some attention. Our oldest boy. And his mother told him, Joel, be quiet. He didn't. She called him over. She said, Joel, I'm going to whip you when we get home. We got home. Bobby had forgotten it. After a little bit, he come up and he said, Mama, you said you was going to whip me when we got home. Well, she took him and accommodated him. And it was good for him. He had a tender heart. He wanted to be corrected. There's a Bible example of that. We found it in 1 Samuel 15. Where Samuel even had the courage to call the hand of a king. As he said, as the Lord is great, a delight is obedience, a sacrifice. Behold, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And the offerings of fat of rams And what else? But rebellion as of sin and witchcraft. And because you have disobeyed God, he has rejected you as king and raised himself up another. Number five, the I will of doubt. The other disciples said unto him, therefore, said unto him, we have seen the Lord, and he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in them, I will not believe that he's raised. Well, how many times that Jesus told them that he's going to be raised from the dead? Why didn't they believe it? Because he told them at least three occasions he's going to be raised from the dead. Well, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that ever since I could remember, Thomas is known as the doubting Thomas. I'm not sure that's justified when you consider this man wanted proof. We must insist on proof. Don't take what your mama and your daddy said. Take what God said. Have your faith in God, not in anyone else of a human nature. The I will of doubt. How about the doubt prayer? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts unto them that asked him? Do you believe that? Do you worry about how you're going to get by? I never worried about how I was going to get by. If the Lord says, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to bless you, I don't have any problems. Do you not remember what is written about being taken care of? Hebrews 13 and 5, let your conversation be. Let your conversation be as without covetousness, but could be content with such things as you have. For the Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What about the difficulty of hardships that you may face in life? Bobby and I have faced some difficulties in life. We lost our firstborn and our thirdborn one in an accident. The next Sunday, I taught my class. An older man said to me, how could you do that? Because of my trust in the Lord. I knew they were young. At least one of them was. The other one was 20. He's a child of God. The other one was 3 and a half. I know they're all right. God will take care of us in our grief and sorrow as he took take care of them. As David says when he lost a young child. He will not return to me, but I will return to him. That's our goal. What about Paul's statement? Wherefore be of good cheer. None of you, or it shall be given unto you as God has told me. What was the situation? They were in a storm on a ship headed for Rome for Paul to be appealed his case that the Jews had brought against him. Well, what did God say? Did Paul said, I believe that God will do what he says. God had told him, I've given you all the souls that be with you. Did he do it? He did. The ship wrecked, but all of them were delivered safely. That's evidence that God will do what he says. And when he says he'll take care of you, then we shouldn't doubt it about anything. Number 7, the I will of overconfidence. And he spoke more vehemently. Though all forsake you, I will not leave you. And so did all the other disciples. Now, maybe after Peter had spoken up, because Jesus had said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me thrice. Oh, Peter was so confident he wasn't going to do it. It's good to be confident in whatever you're doing for the Lord, but don't ever be overconfident to the point that you let your guard down and you slip. That's why we have warning by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And then Paul said himself, one of the greatest men you read about in the New Testament, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, that after I have preached to others, I myself also am a castaway. Who is the castaway person? The person overconfident that he could buck the devil, that he can sin a little bit and it will not grasp him, overtake him, become addicted to his sin? The alcoholic says, oh, I can handle my strong drink. He's very confident. But he ends up in a sad, sad shape. Number 7, the provisional I will. And another said unto the Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me go home and bid farewell to those that are my home. I will follow thee, provided there's no sacrifices that I have to make. But look at the Lord's reply. Jesus said, no one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9:62. Some people say, I will follow the Lord if. heard a preacher one time say that he was in Europe in World War II. And he made a promise that if the Lord would deliver him safely back home, he would come back to Europe as a preacher of the gospel, bringing the gospel to those people he were fighting against. And he did it. That's not the case for most people. Most people will try to make a provisional, I will, to the Lord. I will serve you if you will see me through this. And after God sees them through that, they forget that I will. Number 10, and this is one of the most difficult. The I will of submission. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face. And praying, oh, Father, save me from this hour. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Matthew 26:39. Jesus would do the will of the Father, even if it cost him his life. And it did. When one learns the importance of doing the Father's will and the value that's involved in eternal life, he'll have no problems in serving God. Then there is the I will of no reservations. And on the morrow when he departed, he says, take care of this man. And if thou spendest more, when I return, I'll repay you. The despised, at least among the Jews, Gentiles, that Jesus was using as an example. Notice the word, whatever thou spendest more. As we say, carte blanche. No limit. That's what we must give to the Lord. There's no limit to what we're to give to the Lord. The more the Lord has given you, the more obligation you have to give to him. The more talent you have, the more responsibility to increase that talent. The more work that you're qualified to do, and you do it, the more qualified to do greater work you will do. That's just the way God works. Then number 11, the I will of repentance. I will arise and go to my Father. And I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Luke 15:18-19. There's no provisions. No provisions or demands that a father to make on him. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He turned from give me to make me. Give me the goods that befalleth me. The Father gave it to him. He goes into a far country and he wasted all of his living. And not till he come to himself, because he had not been thinking right when he came to himself. Then he come to the conclusion when he saw where he was. No future except repentance. Then he said, I'll arise. I'll go to my father. One truly repents and comes to the Lord, his attitude will be different. And in conclusion, what are your plans for the rest of the year? Surely you've been thinking about that. It's up to you. What are your plans for the rest of the year? If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. If you are a Christian and you have not practiced rightly the I wills that we covered, you need to repent. You need the prayers of the righteous people here. James says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's good to confess and to pray, but it's better to confess, pray, and ask for prayers of others. And if you need to do that, you'll have the opportunity when we sing, you can come right to the front and let it be known. But let me say to those that might be here that are not a Christian, what you need to do is say, I will arise and obey him and do it now. By believing that Jesus is the Son of God, he died for you, he loves you, he wants to help you go to heaven. If you believe that and were willing to repent of your sins, turn away from the direction you're going, confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of sins, we're here to help you. Will you act upon that invitation as together we stand and sing?